All who come to this happy place, welcome.
Sonoma Sun FM presents. Live from Sonoma, California.
Well, for starters, you have to purify yourself in the waters of Lake Minnetonka.
Tim Livingston.
Not you, fat Jesus. Slide it on back.
Pete Livingston.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Ben Sam.
I want you to remember this face here, okay? This is the guy behind the guy behind the guy.
Taking you into Monday the only way they know how.
Bionic me!
With love.
Now go to that voodoo that you do so well.
Those Livingston Brothers on Sonoma Sun FM, KSVY 91.3 Sonoma.
It's 2-0. Scoreboard is not right.
Pitch. Swinging a shot. Over. Altuve. Here's the throw home. It is over. And Jeff Kepinger once again beats his old team. And he does it with a base hit here in the bottom of the 10th.
Way I feel.
Drops on. Pete, why don't you? Yeah, there you go. There you go. Belt it out. Belt it out. Welcome to the show, everybody. Of course, the biggest story this week.
Jason Gaffner's on the show.
Thank you. Jason, welcome to the show.
What's up,
guys? But we do have the Little League World Series champions coming from the state of California.
Again.
I mean, just
round of applause.
I mean, we're that great at everything.
Huntington Beach. Represent.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
My one gripe with the Little League World Series
is
the fact that it's double elimination up until the championship games.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because the
American
team, yeah.
And then like the world, like the two different brackets,
mm-hmm.
It's double elimination until you get to those championship games prior to the actual Little League World Series. And so what you had was you had Montana, who had not lost, right?
Yes, basically.
And they lost to Huntington Beach, California once. So that was their one loss.
Mm-hmm.
And it just happened to be in the championship game, and then they were done.
Yeah. Yeah, they
It's like they should have had like a third. They should have like the rubber match.
The College World Series, which actually is a true double elimination, where once they even get to the title games, they have to play two times to win
if
they come from the loser's bracket. And California, if we're playing under those rules, would have to beat Montana twice. But unfortunately, the way the Little League World Series is once you get to those championships, they're treated like true championships.
You are
where
poop out of luck.
One. Exactly.
You are poop out of luck.
But congratulations to California. Walk-off, dramatic. 12-year-olds running into each other's arms, just not knowing anything.
They're like 14.
They are. They're like 26.
I think they drove to Omaha.
Yes.
Well, their parents couldn't take them.
That's Pennsylvania, Pete. Pennsylvania.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Yeah. We just said College World Series.
Yes.
I was thinking.
No, but California did. Montana, the runner-up in the U.S. So very, very happy for them, the Billings kids.
People just watch a Little League World Series for two reasons. One, to watch like the oversized 12-year-old kid that's like 6'2" that cranks out like 300-foot bombs.
Check swing homers.
Yeah. And then the other reason is because we just like to watch like prepubescent kids just like ball their eyes out when they lose.
That's not fair. Okay.
Those are like the only two reasons.
It's totally true.
That's what I was thinking, though.
It's totally true.
We just like the tears.
So.
You know who else played Little League Baseball? Jason Gaffner.
Yeah. You know who umpired Jason Gaffner's Little League games?
I'm going to go out on a limb.
I did.
And say Sam.
Oh, yeah, Sam.
Sam
being younger than Jason was so advanced as an umpire that he did his game. But, yeah, we have Jason Gaffner live in studio. We were hoping that the webcam was going to be up and that Jason could have brought the guitar and, like, really showed off and all that. But we're definitely happy to have him in studio. Longtime fan of the show, obviously. But Jason, thanks for coming in, man. How you doing?
Pretty good, man. How you guys doing?
Doing all right.
We're doing all right.
Talk a little bit about what you got going on now. I mean, obviously, some people out there, you know, this is a small town, so there's a lot of people kind of know what you're doing, but kind of talk about it anyway to some of the people who might not know.
Let the world know.
Exactly.
Let the world know. So I've been doing a lot of different stuff, playing around with a lot of people, but I've just been starting my own project. I've been doing a lot of writing for people and producing for people up here and also in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going pretty well. We're actually going to go and pitch a song to some pretty big record labels pretty soon. So,
high five
yeah,
on that,
pretty
dude.
Pretty stoked on that.
Nice.
So hopefully next time you see me, I'll be sporting a Rolex or something.
Nice. Oh, about to say, sweet. You'll be
exact same outfit, just with the
just
Rolex.
Just with the Rolex so. Instead just of a Casio watch. Yeah.
One of the old watches.
Although,
that
hey,
you could
man.
Play like Mario on. Do you remember those?
You can oh, God, phone those are awesome, man.
The Donkey Kong watch. Yeah. I remember the Donkey Kong watch.
Just get one of those. Except
calculator watch.
Yeah.
Just,
oh my God. Yeah.
Platinum.
Put some, like,
platinum. Yeah.
This.
Platinum oh, diamond man. Keys.
Just it's like, dude, you just signed a contract for $1 million. What'd you get? This watch. Cool.
Yeah,
what
two
else?
Tickets to yep. Disneyland.
Yeah. Speaking of contracts, Pete and myself will be signing our official Sonoma Sun FM contracts before the end of this show.
How much are we getting paid?
Let's
that
see
cheddar?
Here. Let's take a look here. What,
$3 million per?
Right,
let's see here.
Per episode?
We are paying them. Oh, that's messed up.
Man.
We're paying them.
Sam, we can both sign this.
I think we might need to let our lawyers see this before we go on with this. Jason will be our acting lawyer tonight. So Jason, kind of talk about how you got started with the whole music deal. I know you've been playing for a very long time.
And what is your style?
Yeah,
how
exactly.
would you describe your sound?
Well, the stuff that I've been putting out personally and that I'm going to continue to put out, I'd say is it's definitely the pop route, but it has a lot of different stuff going on, different harmonies, different mm-hmm. sounds, kind of throwing some different things into pop formats. Just kind of bringing more of a refreshing take into okay. the whole pop music scene, I'd say.
Fantastic.
Which is in need of some refreshing.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of seems like it doesn't know where to go at this point.
Yeah.
It's
please bring the refreshment.
Please.
I think a lot of people are getting a little too caught up in the whole electronic thing, which I really yeah. like.
Thank you.
But
another high five. Seriously. You have achieved... two dose
high fives. High fives, and it's only been 3 minutes.
I'm on fire, man.
You are, man.
NBA Jam style.
Yes, on fire.
Yeah, it's been good though. I just played a couple shows in the city, which went over really well, and we actually I played with this girl Sonia Rao, who was on NBC's The Voice.
Okay,
recently,
very cool.
Which is pretty cool, and we played at this place called Viracocha in the Mission in mm-hmm. San Francisco. And just randomly we were like, hey, let's go outside and just start playing on the street. So me and the sax player and this percussion player that I'll play with Sonya just started playing on the street. And pretty soon just like a huge group of people just ended up watching us. And then nice. This guy with the trumpet came by, started jamming with us.
Homeless man with like drumsticks and a paint bucket.
Yeah, this little kid was just like dancing. He had like the sickest fro. And we were playing Jackson 5 and he was trying to like moonwalk. It was epic.
A little busking. That's pretty cool. We, yeah. Dave Robbins, who does shows here mm-hmm. at the station, he has a show called Busking where
oh,
he
really?
Kind of he tries to bring a little bit like kind of the
impromptu.
Exactly. And there's actually a couple of guys around here in Sonoma who will come out and do that. Like if there's a big movie or something being shown at Sebastiani, mm-hmm. they'll kind of sit out there and do it. Or if there's a large gathering at the square or something, they'll go out and just play like that. And it's pretty cool. I actually kind of like that. It's a little bit more soulful than,
yeah,
you know, than sometimes just standing up and playing a set somewhere.
Yeah, because you never really know what's going to happen. And
yeah.
I mean, for instance, we were playing, someone was just like, you guys should just play this song.
And we just
started
did.
Playing
sure.
it. And this guy shows up with a drum set and just sets up his drum set and starts playing along. As
that's awesome.
In the middle of playing a Bob Marley tune. So
sweet.
It was
oh, and it was Bob Marley.
And yeah.
In the Mission.
We made some good beer money that night. So
yes. There
we
go. Very cool.
I always wanted to be like the keyboardist in a Bob Marley band because they just play like the two chords.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to look super stoned the whole time.
Yeah.
You know?
Just
and just like
eyes half open. Yeah.
You know?
Fake dreads.
Yeah, they can't see
fake tan
because we don't have
Pete's doing more Stevie Wonder than keyboardist in a Bob yeah. Marley band right now.
Because our webcam isn't going.
Yeah, well, they will be soon. By the way, we are not brought to you in part by what is this?
Traveling
Matters?
Well, yeah, we're not
Traveling Matters, exactly. We are not sponsored by Traveling Matters.
We are sponsored by the Jason Gaffner
Project.
I don't know. what do they call law offices?
Law, yeah, the law offices of Gaffner, and Gaffner.
That's right. That's who we're brought. our lawyers.
Yeah.
Only the finest.
That's right.
I represent only the finest.
Only the finest.
Me and Steve Moskowitz.
I can just see like one of those horrible, like cheaply done, like public.
I'm too far away to give Jason a high five for the Steve Moskowitz comment, but that was like, incredible.
We I'm only represent the finest, you know? This stare, like obviously reading a cue card.
The like, stock, like drum set off a keyboard.
Yeah, somebody has like a Casio keyboard.
I got the Casio watch, so we're halfway there.
There we go.
So when did you decide to move to the city? I know you did. You've been playing music up here. Then so you did high school, and then you had the Frisco. Was that like right away? Did you decide to do it right after high school?
I lived in LA for a couple years.
Okay,
and then
where in LA?
I lived in Hollywood for a little while, and then I lived close
to Hollywood.
No.
Okay. Good for you. Yes, very good. Yeah.
Well, yeah, North Hollywood gets really hot. But, yeah, I lived downtown for a little while. Cool. And then I kind of was just getting a little tired of living down in L.A. And mm-hmm. I've always had kind of the...
you guys should swap stories.
And I just decided that, you know, San Francisco would be a fun place to live for a while.
It is.
And,
it is.
I just moved there and, you know, I didn't realize there was such a flourishing music scene in San Francisco.
Yeah.
But they're actually, there's a lot of people that play. There's a lot of venues, and the venues actually pay really well too, which is
nice,
which is pretty cool. So,
well, that's the thing is like they draw well at all these venues because of the fact that you know San Francisco is very kind of segregated as far as neighborhoods go because they want to stay local to the people that live in those areas. So you only get really people going from North Beach people to going to North Beach shows or Mission to Mission.
Exactly.
But obviously, the public transportation is good enough for some people. Will travel, but so that's why they can, you know, pay so much. And that's really cool that you were able to do that. You're, I mean, you're what, 22, 23 now?
Just turned 23.
Just turned 23.
Oh, just a child.
But you're making some really good connections, obviously. And you're kind of getting into the scene. And now that you've been a part of it for about 3 years, I mean, like, what have you kind of learned? What has been your kind of journey to where you are right
Give
now?
Give us some grown-ass man knowledge.
Exactly.
Drop some knowledge on your
Drop head. Some grown-ass man knowledge on
I just, I think if you just play with as many people as possible and if you work hard, and I know it sounds cheesy, but if you work hard and you are just a good person, I mean, good people do surprisingly go far in the music business because, you know, no one wants to be in a band or no one wants to rehearse someone who's a giant D-bag, you know? It's like...
This is true.
Because you're going to have to spend hours rehearsing with them, or if you're on tour, you're going to have to be in the van with them or...
Yeah.
In a hotel with them, so it's
sharing
like,
needles and
oh wow,
come on, bro, you're hogging it.
Then we seriously have some Alice in Chains stuff going on, and well,
a
that
dark.
doesn't end well for anybody.
I don't think I'm in like that stage yet.
Pete has just skipped the happy-go-lucky and gone right to the fallen
the
off the deep end.
Yeah,
like, Pete is already producing your behind the music episode right
what
now.
What is with these? Look at the new...
That's the Simeon, Pete. That's their new system.
Simeon! Yeah,
keep watching. but you're going to... The screensaver that's on this computer now, it's kind of creepy.
Well, see, Pete, you see how it's called the Simeon? Those are monkeys, hence Simeons.
Oh.
There you go.
My monkey knowledge is not up to par.
And you got to see Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. I heard the latest one was really good. Pete, did you hear similar things?
I've heard only positive
things. Yeah, which is really weird because it's a Planet of the Apes movie and like 8 of them have been made.
Until I've seen it, though.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing else matters.
We haven't even seen Harry Potter, let alone Planet of the Apes.
Wow. We are behind.
We are. We're way behind.
More importantly, we need to go see Jason Gaffner.
Yeah, Jay, do you play just down in San Francisco, or do you kind of tour around a little bit? Where are you at?
A bunch of different places.
Do you play over in Berkeley at all? Or?
Every once in a while. I played a show a couple months there at the Shattuck Down Low, which was kind of a fun place. But mostly in the city, some in L.A., a lot. I've played in San Luis Obispo a lot, Santa Cruz a lot.
That's cool. Good area. Very nice.
Monkey.
Yeah, there we go. Simeon screensaver.
His face looks like a pair of butt cheeks with something else on the top that I don't want to describe.
Wow.
Genitalia.
Yep. Yes.
Wow.
We're enamored by this. We are absolutely enamored. We're just going to be talking about these screensavers all day.
Emo monkey.
Aw. What do I do with my hair? It's so long. What do I do? Why am I against this tree like this?
So how did you get started in monkeys. Ghost? You were doing like a little ghost writing for people? And
not ghost writing like E-40, but ghost writing.
Writing. Writing. W-R. Not
like Ghost Rider, the phenomenal PBS show of learning that was played in the early 90s. But go ahead.
Yeah, writing some stuff. One of the guys I work with down in L.A., he's actually a ghost producer for like a pretty famous producer. So nice. I've been lucky to play on some of his tracks and get involved with him and get in on some writing sessions, which is pretty cool because, you know, when someone that's kind of a bigger deal is like thinking about maybe doing one of your songs, it's kind of a cool feeling.
That's so awesome. You have like indirectly worked with Kanye West and Jay-Z, is what you're trying to say.
Not yet.
You wrote Otis.
You got to say yes.
Even though it's an Otis writing sampler.
I mean, yes. That's exactly
even,
what
even though it's an Otis writing sampler, it was you.
Protect
you
the
did
throne,
Otis.
Or was
yeah.
it?
Exactly.
Was
called? Yeah, Watch the Throne.
Watch the Throne.
Yeah. So
my version was Protect. They just changed that one.
Thank you. They were like, yeah. this is too good. We can't.
I was like, Kanye, man. I don't know. We should keep it. We should keep it. And he's like, yo, dog.
Easy. Nah, man. No, yeah. That's not
he looked
how
at you
works.
Like that. Yeah. He was just like, I don't
he gave
know.
Me the simi
he
face.
He just threw up the rock every 2 minutes. He's just like.
He's like, yo, Jay, I'm going to let you finish. But
yeah, exactly. Right. So incredible. Kanye. So Jason, obviously, you know, baseball is another thing that you're big fan of, you know, obviously you played a lot growing up. Your dad's a big baseball guy, your brother too. You know, I mean, well, what do you think about what's going on in the Bay Area as far as baseball goes nowadays?
Man. Start with the A's.
Start with the A's.
Well, it's nothing really.
All right, let's go to the Giants.
That has been your A's segment of Los Livingston Brothers, brought to you in part by, well, not anymore, Traveling Mattress.
No, we're not.
Matters. I like Traveling Mattress.
We're only sponsored by Gaffner, Gaffner, and Gaffner.
Sorry. And Steve Moskowitz.
And Steve
and Berg Pilsner.
Yes. Thank you. Very nice. So, but let's
the
talk
Giants.
Let's
Giants,
talk Giants because I was at the game Friday. They won 2-1.
Is that Kepinger walk off?
No, it was the night before. That Kepinger had the 2-run double in that game. Mm-hmm. Madison Bumgarner pitched really well, and then the next night. Our next day was Eric Surkamp's debut, and Kepinger walked off 2-1 win. Lost today in 11 innings, 4-3.
Oh, man.
They played all these one-run games against the Houston Astros, the worst team in baseball. Sorry, Brett, if you're listening.
No, right?
But
your team sucks.
And he's at AAA raking right now, so that shows you how well he could be doing with
Signing
the Astros.
Contract, continue.
But, you know, I mean, what do you think is something that the Giants could look to improve on? I mean, obviously you've been watching as many games as we have. I mean, what are your thoughts?
And, I mean, the pitching's good. I think they just got to get healthy, obviously.
Yeah.
And I think Jeff Kepinger is just really bad luck.
Yeah.
Although he's been hitting the walk-offs and stuff, he's never been on a winning team.
Yeah,
oh,
that's true.
Man, he's one of those guys?
Well, he's that guy.
It was actually really funny.
So him and Cabrera cancel out.
It's actually pretty funny because he had an incredibly good season for the Reds a few years ago, and then he got injured and like missed an entire season, and then he got traded to the Astros, and he did exactly what you're talking about.
I feel like he's a little bit of a Debbie Downer.
Yeah, he could be. You know,
wow.
And Mark DeRosa, you know,
was safe. Today.
Yes, he was safe.
I heard
today.
About that. I didn't know the game was on, and I went on to Facebook and I saw like 15 updates that were all like the second base. Umpire needs to find like a new profession.
Yeah, Mike Ryan, that was funny.
Is that the younger guy, right?
Yeah, it was the younger guy of the group, and that's something that, you know, DeRosa. It was obvious that he got his hand in there before the tag, but the thing is, an umpire sees that and is like, oh, he's out. You know, they don't think about the fact he actually might have gotten back in time. So,
I think when you're playing these close of games, it's putting so much pressure. I mean, their bullpen's amazing, but it's like. You know, every once in a while, they're going to need to get picked up.
And I've been telling a couple people this. Like, people don't understand exactly how much stress that pitching staff goes through because the offense can't produce. I mean, if you're having to go out there and think, I have to win a 3-2 or 2-1 game.
As a starting pitcher, I mean, when you're going out there and you're thinking, man, I'm only going to get 1-2 runs.
Yeah.
So I better, you know, sack up hardcore.
Yeah.
That's not a good feeling
to
have.
I mean, Baumgartner's sitting out there. And if he gives up 2 runs in that game, all of a sudden it's a completely different ball game. You know, that's tough. And they're, you know, Kane and Lincecum have learned to kind of live with it. But, you know, you got Vogelsong now trying to figure it out. You have Baumgartner starting to come along. I mean, that's not something you can live on. I mean, they're really good in one-run games this year, but they...
But at the same time, if the offense does get picked up a little bit, you know, if they're in that zone and then they get into the postseason and they're just used to not giving up a lot of runs...
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. That's what I was saying last Sunday.
That's Pete's argument. And the thing is that in the playoffs, that does count because you're not talking about 162 games. You're talking about a 5 or 7-game series. So I agree with Pete there. I think that if it gets to the playoffs, because the more I think about it, then you can throw everything out the window. The Giants will score 8 runs off of Roy Halladay. Is it likely it's going to happen? No. Could it happen? Yes.
But, I mean, you look at a lot of the guys that are on the team, and a lot of them are just having super down years.
Huff
is having a horrible year.
Yeah, he's probably still the worst regular first baseman in baseball today. That's how bad he's been. And then you've got guys like... Cabrera, who really hasn't done anything since he's come over. Beltran was hurt, but he's still doing really. He's doing his part. He's doing exactly what's being asked of him.
I don't really like him in right field, though.
I don't either.
Yeah.
If Schuerholz comes back, I'd like to see him in right, Beltran in left.
The problem is, though, I'm not sure Schuerholz is going to be back because that's a stress fracture in his right foot, and they have to really be careful about something like that.
I love Nasty Nate.
So that's something to watch, too, because... One of the things they messed up on this year was Brandon Belt. If Brandon Belt played, like, you know, got the chance that Buster Posey did last year, I think the Giants would be a lot better off because that would alleviate some of the stress from Huff and maybe let him kind of sit back and kind of focus on some other things. But, man, oh, man, if they can't figure out this injury situation, it's going to be tough for them.
What's the latest with the Heath Bell situation?
That was closed on Friday. They only had a 48-hour window once he was claimed.
They successfully blocked him, though.
Well, basically, he can be put back on waivers. They can put him back out there. The Giants had to pay, I think, $25,000 in order to negotiate. I don't think they had to give that back. So that's $25,000 they wasted to try and get Heath Bell on their team.
I think, though, that's worth it. I mean, if the Diamondbacks don't get him, that's way worth it.
The Diamondbacks, though, I think they're actually standing pretty pat. They made a move that was interesting to me is that they got Brad Ziegler, but they gave up Brandon Allen.
Who's Ziegler? Submariner.
And Ziegler has had a pretty good year for the A's. Not as great as he was a couple years ago when he had that scoreless inning streak. But he's having a pretty good year. And Brandon Allen actually has turned into a pretty nice little player for the A's. He's an actual power threat in that lineup outside of Josh Willingham. But the thing is that's interesting about that trade is they moved Paul Goldschmidt right into first base, and it's been...
That guy's a beast.
He's a beast. He is... I mean, he had his first home run in his career off of Tim Lincecum. I mean, that's saying something. And
it was not a cheap one either.
No, it wasn't. That was a shot. I mean, that was deep into that alleyway. And one thing that people kind of are forgetting about Arizona is if they're thinking Arizona's going to slow down, they have slowed down. The Giants just have slowed down when Arizona did. And now that Arizona is facing San Diego and they're winning the games they're supposed to, the Giants are actually staying at the pace that the Diamondbacks
are supposed to be winning.
They are. The Giants should not
That's like their calling card.
They shouldn't be splitting series with the Houston Astros. Yeah. Now they got the Cubs coming in. Tomorrow, they play a 3-game series with them. Then they have the Friday off before the Diamondbacks come in for 3. And the Giants need to win at least 2 of those. Yeah. Because if they don't, if they lose 2 out of 3 or they even get swept, then you can basically kiss the playoffs goodbye. Because that means they could be as far back as 7 back with a month left to play. Even though they do play the Diamondbacks again.
They play them out like 7 times?
I think they play them again. And I think they have 2 more series against them. Yeah. So. But, man, oh, man, it is crucial. They need to figure out a way to get that going for the Diamondbacks that weekend because they are going to come to try and write the Giants off right then and there. Yeah. It's pretty simple. So,
what about Wilson?
Romo came back today and he looked okay.
He looked good, yeah.
But I think they're going to try and take their time more with Wilson because they actually took him in thinking it could have been a Tommy John injury because of the fact that he had the surgery before. Uh-huh. So they're really going to watch that. I think it's very interesting that Wilson ended up having elbow trouble concerning that he doesn't throw a slider like Romo does. Romo throws a slider like 40% of the time.
It's nasty.
And it's nasty, but that puts a lot of torque on your elbow.
Yeah.
And Wilson had mainly been throwing fastballs. He'd been throwing 4-seamers. He'd been throwing 2-seamers. He'd been throwing cutters. He hasn't really thrown a slider too much. But his elbow has flared up because I think he's been efforting through some injuries, and that's more of a cascade thing. He had the oblique, his back, I think he's...
Well, I think he just needs to rest more. I mean, yeah. He works out all the time.
Oh, yeah. No, he is a beast, yeah. That
Which
guy does not
is
stop.
Good, but it's like during the season, that can be pretty... I mean, you're already working so hard.
Yeah, very yeah. true.
You have to rest the body
mm-hmm.
and the mind.
And the soul.
I thought he was a ninja, man. Shouldn't
he is
that?
A ninja.
Shouldn't he know that?
It's like, come on, man.
He got his ninja certificate in his sleep in like, what, 13 minutes? What was it that he said?
I think it was like 12 minutes. Yeah, something like that to get your ninja
That was awesome.
If you could title one song... for the San Francisco Giants, what would it
like
be?
If you could think of a song.
Like, you wrote a song for the Giants
but
right
not
now.
As right now. Right
not
now.
As bad yeah, as what, right not now. As bad as what Ashcon
what,
did.
What would the name,
not as
what
bad
would you
as
title
Ashcon.
It?
Better than Ashcon.
2-1 would
Ooh,
be.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Would be the song name.
I like that.
That is nice.
I mean, I don't, but I like it, you know?
Offensive offense.
Yeah. Your offense is offensive.
Exactly, man. So
I like that though.
So
2-1.
So Jason, what do you got coming up? Like, what do you got in kind of the near future as far as your musical career comes?
Recording sessions coming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of finished up with a large chunk of shows, and now I'm kind of focusing more on finishing some stuff I've been working on, like writing wise and producing wise. I'm producing this guy Sean Krause, who's really really awesome. I'm producing Zane, actually, Bulky. I'm producing
Very
a couple
cool.
of his songs for
Yeah,
him.
He's got his band that's going on down in San Francisco yeah. still.
I didn't know Zane Bulky yeah. played music.
Yeah. Yeah, he started playing right around the time you did, right? You guys kind of...
I think he started a little afterwards.
Oh, yeah?
He was... I think he started on a different instrument, but now he's doing drums.
Yeah.
I actually play it with his band every once in a while.
And are these the guys that he met when he went to College of Marin? Was this the same thing? Or?
I don't think so.
No?
If you guys were in a band together, you probably would be one of the biggest bands physically.
Yeah.
Out
you guys
there.
Are very imposing.
That's like,
no.
that's like...
I mean...
I feel like, yeah, Zane...
Nobody would rush
Jason's
to say...
6'3", 6'4". Zane's 6'4", at least. Probably 6'5".
I'd probably... Yeah, probably a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
That's a lot of band up there.
That is.
Yeah, we can hold our own if things get wrapped.
That's about to say.
That would be the name of your band, Hold Our Own. If you guys would go out there and everybody would be like, where's it? There's no security. Why don't they need... And then you guys just walk out there. And,
oh, we get it. And it's like at the same place as they
played. Got drumsticks too. So
exactly. Yeah. It's like, I will throw this in your eye right now. So, but that's pretty cool. Are you mostly doing your producing up here, or are you down? Are you moving back and forth?
Of,
or
a lot in LA, and then also up here. The studio that I do a lot of writing at is down in LA. It's one of my really good friends. He's just an amazing producer.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been working on a lot of stuff, but. This guy is crazy, man. He just lives in the studio.
Yeah.
He starts sessions at 6 in the morning, goes to bed at 4 in the morning, sleeps for 2 hours.
Yeah.
That's Martha Stewart hours.
If the math is correct,
that's 2 hours.
2 hours.
Yeah, so,
I get 6 hours, I feel groggy.
He's just... Yeah,
2 hours, he's ready to go.
So what do? Like, you go down there, you go down to L.A., the creative juices are flowing... You may or may not have your favorite Sonoma burrito, which we will talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we need to talk about that for sure. We have to get some Sonoma favorites out of you.
What do you do? Like, what are you going through in this creative process?
I kind of go down there with a plan, like what I want to work on, or you know, if I'm writing for someone, you know, maybe like finish the bridge or finish this part or like finish the hook or something, and then kind of figure that out, and then just get it done pretty much. And some days you'll be surprised. Like, you can knock out a song in one day if you're just everything's clicking. But then, you know, some songs, just the more instruments you have, the more time it takes to mix them down and EQ and do all that stuff. And it can get a little hectic.
I can imagine.
Are you using Logic?
Pro Tools.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. See, a lot of people...
We used Logic before.
Yeah.
But mostly Pro Tools. I feel like when you send a session file to, like... a really legit producer, mm-hmm. and if it's not Pro Tools, they, you know, will just kind of laugh
like,
at you.
Yeah, okay.
Well, Pro Tools
is Windows Media Player.
Well, no, but Pro Tools has been industry standard for a decade.
For a while, yeah.
I mean, it's been,
but, I mean,
it's,
you know,
been a major.
People use Logic, and mm-hmm. I mean,
but they mix in Pro Tools.
Yeah, it's true.
They send out to Pro Tools and mix in it.
Does anybody use the big mixing boards anymore?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Do you use them?
Yeah, we do. We have a really nice one.
Nice.
It's a CAD, what is it? I don't know. It's a CAD something from the 80s.
32 channels.
Can we get a picture? If you can get a studio picture of like you, you know how they always have
a picture of it
laying across it.
No, you know how they always have like the picture of the guy. Like
it's like bigger than your table, I would say.
Oh yeah. See, that's what I want, and I want you like sitting there like. Well, for those of you not doing anything,
those of you who don't see, those of you who don't see our board, we're running off of 12 channels here. It's only we have them outputted to different functions, obviously.
12 channels is monstrosity.
We only have 12 channels here on this board. The normal mixing boards in major studios are at least 64 to start. I mean, they're huge boards. They have tons and tons of mixes that you can put to them, tons of channels, tons of knobs.
Yeah, you know, like 12 band EQ, or just totally excessive things.
Wow. Like, do we really need that?
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah, I guess so, right?
If you're going to be in there from 6 in the morning to 4 in the morning, you better be using 64 tracks of goodness. Or whatever you call them. What do you call each one? Is it a track?
Channel.
Yeah. Thank
channels.
You.
Channels. You're looking for channels.
Good job, Sam. Good job.
Slap out of the hands.
Slap out of the hands.
So, okay. So, Pete, you have other questions to ask Jason.
Count of three, I want us all to say our favorite place to go get a burrito.
Wait.
In Sonoma.
Wait.
Truck or restaurant? Because there's...
Okay, let's go with the restaurant.
There's a definitive line
there. You know what's funny is that on our way over here, I thought about that. I'm going to say the question, and then are we going to differentiate between truck and restaurant?
Because let's put this out there. Jason, outside of Sal, and Sal was basically talking about his basketball thing, we have not asked these questions of Sonoma eateries to any other.
We have not.
And this is something I think we should try and do for future guests that are from Sonoma or have visited Sonoma.
Put them on the spot.
Yeah. I mean, I think this would really kind of show where allegiances lie with our eateries here in Sonoma.
I might have to walk out of the studio.
I was about to say.
You're just going to hear this.
There is a wrong answer. And if you answer it, you're out of here.
You're just going to hear this.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Done. We go right to the music
this place
to play.
Sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, on the count of three, we are all going to say
our favorite truck.
No, we're going to go with favorite restaurant.
Okay,
to get a burrito. Okay.
Okay.
Everybody, just take a moment to get your favorite restaurant.
I feel like this is the MASH game.
Tim,
wait a minute though, because some places are better for specific items.
We're just talking
general burrito. We're talking general burrito. General burrito.
Just a burrito.
General burrito.
Okay.
Oh, that's so tough.
It is, but that's why we ask the tough questions here, Jason. We are
we're getting you ready for the big time.
We are the tome of journalistic integrity in Sonoma, California, okay?
That's right.
I mean, that's what we do. We ask the tough questions.
We set the bar.
If you can get past our questions, any media questionnaire will be your...
It's like the Sonoma Sun, the Press Democrat... San Francisco Chronicle.
New York Times.
Los Livingston Brothers.
Yes.
That's how it goes.
The only people better than us.
Huffington Post, then
yes.
Los Livingston Brothers.
And then The Onion.
The Onion is the only news outlet better than us at asking questions.
Okay. So, restaurant for burrito, specific burrito.
Burrito.
Ready? On the count of three. You ready?
Yes.
Sam, are you ready? Do you have your restaurant in your head?
I don't know the name of it, but I know the location.
Okay.
We'll help you out. Okay, ready? Tim, are you ready?
I've been ready. I'm born ready.
One, two, three.
La Hacienda.
Screw you guys.
Sam, where's the one you're thinking of?
I don't actually have like a burrito like from a restaurant that I could think of, but I do remember that ridiculous one from the place on the pier at Santa Cruz that Pete got. That one was like at least like 3 pounds.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, wait a minute.
But you don't have a favorite place in Sonoma?
Like for burritos? No, I haven't gotten like a burrito at like an actual restaurant.
Sam is strictly from, like, taco truck. Sam is strictly taco truck.
Strictly
he's
taco
he's a burrito
truck
snob.
Only?
He only nice. Eats from the tree.
So I said those primos. You guys said the Hacienda.
I would like to make a point that the last 6 burritos I've eaten in Sonoma at a restaurant have all come from La Hacienda.
I have one grievance with La Hacienda. So last time I was there.
Uh-oh.
So
this is like, it's Festivus. We're airing our grievances.
So You know how they have a lot of new servers nowadays?
They do. Yeah.
Maria, the love of my life, no longer works there.
Sad.
I know. But I got a super
burrito.
I sent a song.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I sent a song.
You mean like Maria, Maria by Santana?
Maybe.
Okay.
Only better.
Because I can play that if we need to.
Just throwing that out there for you. You don't have to give me credit, okay? Just pretend this conversation never happened, okay? But just back of your mind.
Super burrito, right?
Ooh. Really
good. Steak and prawns.
Ooh.
Oh, surf and turf.
Which was delicious.
Falling.
But I asked for extra sour cream and cheese, but I was not necessarily asking for extra. It was like kind of giving the proportions of the burrito, you know, to make it more specific.
Yeah.
So it's more juicy, less rice. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
But the total cost of the burrito and one drink, guess how much?
$16.
$18.
Whoa!
Oh, wow. Yeah. Extra cheese cost me like $3. I was just like...
You know, anyone would like to know how much a regular surf and turf burrito there? It's about $11.
In these economic times, you're going
to
shaft?
Needless to say, I did not tip her at all.
Dude, that's not worthy of a tip.
They should be giving you money.
As far as I'm concerned, this show will not be sponsored by La Hacienda Taqueria.
You know, you might have me boycott La Hacienda. I just might
in and anger
them. I will hand them a sealed envelope with me telling them... I cannot eat here anymore.
I resign.
You charge too much for extra cheese.
I resign.
A little ridiculous.
That is $18 for a burrito
and
a drink.
One soda.
Wow. I will give them this, though. They put those sodas in the giant Coca-Cola glasses.
Even that's good stuff, man.
But dude. I'm with you. That's way too much. When you're charging more for extra cheese than you are for your sodas, that's a bit much.
That's a crime.
Lesson learned.
That doesn't fly here in America. Maybe over there in China or something.
What do they serve in China? Mexican food?
Communist burritos.
What do they serve in Mexico? Cuban food?
Yes. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Love it.
Yes.
Okay. Favorite taco truck.
God, do we even have to do the countdown?
Yeah, we do.
Fine.
Okay, do you have your favorite taco truck?
Yes. Everyone has their favorite taco truck, Pete. This is going to be the most climatic countdown ever.
One, two, three.
La Bamba.
Yeah, La Bamba. Wait, what was that?
Los Magos.
Wait a minute.
Is that the orange one?
We have a detractor.
Oh, no.
That's a good place.
We have a detractor.
La Bamba has fallen off so badly.
They have?
So badly.
I would like to point out that I think it's because they've been moving around so much.
I think what we need to do...
Back in their heyday,
they were like the Miami University of taco trucks.
We are going to have to talk about Hurricane Irene at some point.
Can I just say the last...
Is that a burrito or something?
I just went to the orange... the orange truck just like a few
minutes ago,
like days ago, and
the
burrito did not leave my system well.
That's why Jason likes it. It's like a cleanse.
Exactly.
Basically, yeah.
That's his cleansing diet. So,
well, you know, I think this calls for Jason can be like our special guest judge. We should do like a Los Livingston Brothers
burrito
taco
contest.
Trek. The taco truck and like restaurante.
Wait a minute.
Burrito contest.
Are you telling us that we need to have a burrito eating contest in studio?
Blindfolded
taste test.
Wow.
And we will get from all corners of Sonoma.
Can we all just agree that La Casa is horrible?
Yes.
Y'all just like
let's not even invite La Casa into the to the conversation.
Hey, you know they have to compete.
The only thing I want to hear you say is their margaritas are good.
Yeah.
Because that's about the only
Pete,
thing you can say.
You shut your mouth,
Pete. You don't go to Maya or La Casa for Mexican food. You go for the drinks.
Exactly.
You don't. You don't.
You know what place isn't bad? I went there just once, but that new tequila place. It's not bad.
Okay.
This is
the place, by the way, if you're familiar with Sonoma, that is across the street from the Fitness Factory. And this opened a
just owned by La Hacienda's owners.
Yes, but
so
this
I will
is
not
more
go there.
This is more of a large.
You can't trick me.
So, but yeah, this is more of a sit-down environment with a full bar. This is, I'm trying to remember what the name of the old place was. I can't remember it now.
Amigos.
But what, I mean, but you still have Juanita. You still solid. Have. You
which st- I still, to this day, have not I have eaten, never been to neither Juanita.
Have I, neither have I. I think it's because, you know, when we started appreciating burritos, we're in Boise Hot Springs.
Well, that's
and we don't
Mecca.
Have to go all the yeah. way to go to. I mean, that's like that's it's like going to Tampa for the strip clubs. It's like, why do you need to go down to St. Pete when the good strip clubs are right there in Tampa?
I don't.
No, that's seriously. That's like that's the logic I'm
all
using
right, Mr.
here,
Mr. Florida.
Yeah,
God.
They didn't.
Is that
hit,
supposed
they,
to be like a segue into Hurricane.
They didn't
arena?
Get hit by a hurricane. They didn't get hit by a hurricane.
Okay, well, here's how we're gonna segue. If I were a stripper in St. Pete's.
What burrito would I...
what song would you use?
My pre-performance burrito would be a surf and turf burrito with
go
extra
surf
cheese and extra sour cream.
And pay $20.
Because you have all the dollar bills. Yeah. It's not an issue. Bills.
And then my song would be Rock You Like a Hurricane.
I think that you should do Cherry Pie by Warrant.
No.
Isn't that about the... That one guy's daughter or whatever.
Oh, wow. If that
no,
is.
I heard that from a cousin.
You know that guy died last week?
Who?
The lead singer for Warrant.
No way. The blonde-haired guy?
Yeah, the dude died. He was like 47.
Damn. He had glasses, mm-hmm. blonde hair.
She's my cherry pie.
There you go. Thanks.
Jason, do a cover for that song.
No, do not do a cover for that.
Oh, God.
I don't know.
Cherry pie.
Do we have any other food-related questions we need to ask Jason?
What's your favorite Kool-Aid?
That's
fruit punch, obviously.
Ooh.
Hello, fans. What's up? What's up, fellas? Thank you. All right. I think they heard us talking about burritos. That was from our Latin fans. We do. We have fans. Now, they're not out there tonight, but usually across the street, the Meritage is popping, and we got our buddy that usually stands out here waiting for a ride. And it takes him like 20 minutes to do so, and we all feel bad.
He's our boy.
For him. He is our boy.
He's our boy.
But you know, I like the tropical. I like the tropical punch.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Personally, I mean, like I've really fallen in love with orange Kool-Aid again. I don't know about you
I've
guys.
I've always been a grape guy.
Grape is good. Cherry or black cherry is a good one.
Oh my God. It just depends on how much sugar you put in there.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to be very. You can either be very, very
stingy.
Aggressive with the sugar or very stingy. Yeah. But yeah, good call on Tropical Punch. That's probably the best. That's probably the leader in the clubhouse.
When can we put you on the spot? When is the Jason Gaffner album going to be coming out?
Is there going to be one soon?
It depends on a couple things. Like I said, I've been working on some stuff with other people, so that's kind of where a lot of the money is at right now. Yeah. So once I get that stuff done and get that to some labels and stuff, then I'm going to kind of work on my own.
Then you have the bargaining
stuff,
chips.
Yeah,
very
exactly.
Cool, very cool.
But I think I'm just going to be like putting out singles, and then I have some other stuff that's already been recorded.
Well,
and
he does have one song recorded that he gave to us. That's a segue, by the way. That's how you do the segue.
You mean my stripper burrito, Rock You Like a Hurricane? That didn't do it.
My buddy Mark out there wants us to talk about Hurricane Irene, and that is our extent to talking about hurricanes. It's Pete's stripping song if he was ever living in Tampa and needed to get by stripping. That's how it goes. So we'll play we'll kind of play this song in the background. This is the song that Jason this is actually just went up on your Facebook page, right?
Yeah, just started a new Facebook page a couple days ago and put this bad boy up there.
Cool, very good.
I like it.
Yeah,
because you got how many fans? Over 100?
140 right now. He's giving Los Livingston Brothers a run for their money.
We're up to 155.
Oh man, I gotta catch up.
Jason's just like, no, Jason got that in like 4 days. We've been trying to do this for 4 months and we got 155 fans.
Hey, you know what? We're gaining. We're no longer losing. We've gained 15 in like the past week.
But thanks to Pete's begging, we have now a Twitter page and we're going to have a webcam and we're going to be the guys that will use this the most once it finally
becomes. Who's playing the guitar? Who's playing?
Is this you? Is this like all you here?
Yeah, it's on me.
It goes on. Your voice is like a combination of Fergie and Jesus.
I knew that was coming. That's you singing both harmonies.
Yeah.
Okay, very cool.
Coming up on the chorus, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll take you through it.
Do it. Triple harmonize. I
guess I'll just ooh, background chorus.
I like keep it. Going on
and try to figure out what I did wrong.
Now I have a buddy of mine named Donnie Walden who kind of plays a little bit like this.
Oh,
he's
yeah?
kind of he and he does all his own mixing and harmonizing and stuff like that. And I really do like this kind of sound. It's very low key, but it's not like overproduced. I really do. I really like the sound of this. I really do.
We were gonna do like a full band version of this one, but I was actually down, we recorded this down in the studio in LA, and
yeah.
I just started jamming on it, and my producer Lovey, he was just like, why don't you just do it,
yeah,
you just sing it and just play it. And I was like, all
well,
right.
Well, this is that's also a song that doesn't take long to mix down either.
Yeah,
I mean, that's something
yeah.
where you just play and it can be done pretty shortly.
Yeah. The next couple of songs, there's actually one song that I haven't decided if I want to keep for myself or try to sell.
Uh-huh.
But it's gonna be really cool. I actually met a couple of horn players while I was in the city two nights ago.
Mm-hmm. Horns are great.
And so I want to have a whole horn section on this next tune. And
yeah.
It's going to be very like CeeLo, Forget You kind of vibe. So like very
nice.
Motownish, very fun, but still like poppy and rocking out a little bit.
Very cool. Yeah, I mean,
I approve.
I approve it too.
We are official. You can even put that. If you get put that on your Facebook page that you are officially endorsed by Los Livingston Brothers, maybe put that on your album cover.
Maybe
if you make
maybe
one.
Maybe put that on.
I should just call my album Los Livingston Brothers.
There
oh
you
my
go.
Goodness!
Do when you send out your singles, throw that in there. Oh, by the way, my music is loved and routinely referenced on Los Livingston Brothers. Just
throwing
guys, that out
there. If you guys
there.
Play my song every single day and give me like shout outs,
we
like,
could.
We'll do it. Should we just make it a.
Should this be like the promotional section
the
where
Jason
I just say
Gaffner
my
shout out
page.
Section?
Yeah. We'll just take 5 minutes out of every show and we'll play a Jason Gaffner
just
song.
Just spell out my Facebook link like letter for letter.
As every 5 minutes.
www.facebook.com/JASO.
We might have to make this the Jason Gaffner shout out section where we just shout out to people over
should
his
we
music. We might have to. I think this would be a good idea. Because next week, Pete will actually be out of the country.
I will be. I will be gracing France with my presence.
Pete is going to attempt to urinate in every European country that he goes to, but not in toilets.
I will be treated like a king when I go there. They will know my name.
He's going to.
Have you ever been outside of the country,
I Jason? Have.
Damn. Okay. What? Where have you been?
Germany, France, Luxembourg.
Did you try and buy Luxembourg while you were living in Luxembourg or while you were visiting Luxembourg? Because it's pretty cheap. I heard you can get it for a couple mil these days.
No, I did not. However, I did purchase Cuban cigars because
outstanding.
Nice. Tobacco is tax free there.
Nice.
You know what? By the way, I became a cigar guy when I lived in Florida for the 2 years I was down there because of my uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And the tobacco tax here in California compared to what you can buy cigars for in Florida is ridiculous. Like, it is so high in California to try and buy a cigar. Like, we compare the prices here to the favorite cigar we used to smoke back there, and it's $5 more here in California than it is in Florida.
Not as bad as a great burrito ripoff of...
No, Jason has his beat on that one.
That's worse than any tobacco tax. I'm sorry.
You got the cheese tax.
Do you have any...
cheese tax.
You got the cheese
$3
tax.
$3
that cheese was, tax. That cheese was from Wisconsin. And
That was imported Topo cheese from from Portugal.
Yeah, exactly.
Where... If you can give me one piece of advice in France, what would it be?
Oh, Pete.
Let's
that's
see.
My first
stop.
Are
you going to Paris?
Yeah, I'll be there at 9 a.m.
Go to the Louvre.
The
because
Louvre.
Visit the Apple store.
It's
the Louvre.
It's very touristy, but it's one of those things that I feel like everyone should go to in their life because it's just so amazing. I was asking one of the tour guides just like, what are some interesting things about the Louvre when I was in there? And I wasn't on one of the tours, but he was just like on a break or something. And he said, if you looked at every single piece of art in the Louvre for just 20 seconds nonstop, it would take you over 3 weeks.
Damn!
It's straight to look at everything.
It's humongous. It's
and
the largest...
Like, that's like not stopping at all.
Well, that's the largest group in like a singular building of art in the world, right? That's on public display, basically. I don't think there's another museum that
there
large.
There, maybe it's like the impressive. Vatican. That or like probably.
Well, but I mean, like as actual like paintings and drawings and stuff. I'm pretty sure the Louvre.
All you need to know is the Mona Lisa's there. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's basically
it's like
it.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah. So
it's like us. We have. We got a.
Envy Virginia Nutrition.
That's about all we got.
December 14th, 2009.
United States Ground so Forces Louvre. In South Vietnam.
Louvre.
Louvre, and then go eat lots of food.
Lots of food?
Yes.
Don't eat
French food. French food is good.
What? Well, give me some.
Street crepes.
Street crepes.
Absolutely.
I've heard that.
Absolutely. I'm there. I would love to eat some crepes.
Any street crepes in France are just
say it,
unbeatable.
Pete, say I love Crips. Don't you say it, Peter. These colors don't run.
As far coffee drinks. Am I going to be drinking coffee in France?
You better.
You should be drinking wine.
Drinking wine?
Yes.
Like, go to Bordeaux.
All day, every day?
Wine in restaurants is like really cheap in France, too.
Nice.
Oh, very cool.
Which is sweet.
Like how cheap?
Like $8. Well, €8.
Yeah. That's like
at a restaurant.
That's like $42 American.
Actually,
right?
No, it's like $10.
$50.
The euro is right there with.
They
the
have the
right
cheese
now.
Tax though. There. If I
question Jason, should Pete grow a pencil mustache when he moves when he goes to France?
Definitely.
Yes. See the difference
how long are you
is
be in France for
3 days.
3 days. So, you start growing that thing.
Yeah, I better do it before I get there and just really creep out my girlfriend.
I still need to see.
Oh, go to the Eiffel Tower too.
Eiffel Tower.
I think Pete needs to do the whole beret, mustache, skinny cigarette, coffee
and
hand.
No beret.
Goodness.
Pastries. Favorite pastries in France.
I would actually say that Germany had better pastries.
That's right.
But the rest of their food is pretty bad.
I am going to Denmark, and they're supposed to have pretty good pastries. I guess.
I don't know pastries.
Have you been to Italy?
I have not been to Italy yet. It's my one place I really
you should
want to
call
go.
Rob.
That's your
Pete.
One flaw.
It's my one flaw.
That's your one flaw.
That and your
ridiculously
dislike
good looking,
for La Bamba.
Ridiculously talented.
hasn't been to Italy.
Has not been to Italy. Taken France by storm. Has not yet ventured into Italy.
Revolution.
Pete's going to mention you to every person he meets in France too.
I'm going to be like, "Hi, nice to meet you, Jason Gaffner. You heard of him?"
They'll be like, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, of course.
Obviously.
Duh.
Yeah. He only plays in France, refuses to play in Italy.
Winning.
Refuses to go there. But I will go there. I'm going to go there. I'm going to have my computer. There will be uploaded videos of me in other parts of the world for you to see.
Will you be wearing pants?
I don't know. It is Europe.
I will say this.
It is Europe. That's all I'm saying.
Pete, if you take a video of you at a nude beach, no more.
Might happen.
No more.
Facebook might just...
Facebook would can your ass.
I hope not.
They would. That'd be inappropriate.
Well, not in the European Facebook.
You should change your location to Europe, and then if they try there to shut go. You down, be like, you know what? In Europe... They wouldn't have this happen.
Jason, have you seen our slimmed down red panda?
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah,
that is native to San Francisco. He hangs out at Treasure Island and Golden Gate Park a lot.
Red pandas. Did you know that there were red pandas?
I guess
panda, you know, panda bears are like big and like fat and huge.
And white.
Red
and black.
Pandas are slimmed, they're more trim. So the new panda Sandoval, the sleek down
the
more aerodynamic version. I created this mid-show on Paint.
He's good.
Could you have this?
I can barely tell.
Now, here's my question.
It looks so real.
Considering animals, how do you guys feel about this whole Brandon Belt baby giraffe thing?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I love it. Have you seen the hats?
The hats are incredible.
They're so cool.
And then there's a Twitter thing. There's a Twitter hashtag going around, Keep Brandon Awkward. And they just put pictures up of Brandon, like his profile photos, like for the baseball, like for the SF Giants page, for the website. And it's just him with this big old goofy smile on his face. And it's like, keep Brandon awkward. And it's like,
That's awesome. So this picture, I'm feeling Los Livingston Brothers, and then by Jason Gaffner, that would be your CD cover.
Yeah. I think that's pretty good. What if
is that too much to ask?
What if the
just need a picture of like Barry Zito just being a creeper in the background,
holding guitar in hand,
yeah. Trying to get on. He's gonna be hitting
wearing
you
a shirt
up.
That says my life's over.
Pete, what if we did
wearing a shirt that says 84 miles an hour and like flames on it,
Jason? But what if we did the ironic rap album with bandanas over our faces and holding Uzis? Wouldn't that be great for an album cover?
I don't know. I like the Barry Zito with the 86 mile an hour fastball.
You should just have like a great
in the gas.
You should just have this really artistic, beautiful album cover, and then just Barry Zito photo bombing it.
He's pretty funny on the radio. Have you ever heard him when he did his unicorn hour
with Big Mike Urban? It was pretty good.
He had a segment where he would come on for 15 minutes. I think once a week.
It was on Saturdays because
they had
KBR would do
stand, and he would come on for 15 minutes, and they called it the Unicorn Hour because what was it in
unicorns doing 15 minutes what a human does in an hour.
Yeah. So he was on, and that was like his one contribution to being awesome.
Until for the Giants. And you want to talk about something they have to decide on the off season? They're going to buy him out after next year. That's a no doubter. But man, oh man, they have to decide what they're going to do with him.
He's just like chilling in AAA, just making millions.
Seriously,
millions.
Make him play music in the clubhouse like always.
They'll just.
How awesome would that
be? Team lose, Zito.
How awesome would that be if they amended his contract to say you must play music for the entire team an hour before each game in order to make your game day paycheck?
That'd be awesome.
Fantastic.
He would love it. Would you, if Barry Zito, you start your client, you make the Billboard Top 100 by, you have like 1 million downloads, people are loving your music, Barry Zito.
We discovered you.
Goes, hey, J-Gaff. That's going to be his nickname for you. J-Gaff.
Because he's cool like that. You can just say, what up, Zeets?
Hey, J-Gaff, I too can strum a mean guitar. Let me get on your next album.
I would agree to that if he dropped his contract with the Giants.
Oh, you give an ultimatum?
If that ever comes to pass, the Jason Gaffner Scott Boras contract signing will take place here on Los Livingston Brothers. And Barry Zito will be in via satellite because, well, let's be honest, he wouldn't show up.
When you're big and famous, will you at least still venture back to Los Livingston Brothers at least like once or twice
absolutely
a year,
even if it's like a 2-minute phone call? Like, we'll call you. You don't have to call
just
in.
For
we'll,
you to say haha, I'm better than you guys.
You can just be like, go. That's how you answer your phone, you know. Go, you're wasting my time. Very valuable. And it'll be like that. We just wanted to hear your voice. Thank you, Jason. Then like
I just send you like a pre-recorded.
Jason, how you doing? And then in the middle of us asking, he's like, "Thank you for calling Jason Gaffner's phone."
Yeah,
I am this fine.
Is, this is our pre-recorded interview for Los. What
how are
really?
You guys?
Yeah, I'm so happy right now.
My latest album has been fantastic for my career.
It's like those autumn. Press one if you want happy, Jason.
Press
Sam,
two for sad.
Real quick, do you have any words of wisdom?
Man.
Sam, what do you got?
Sam, usually we have a words of wisdom segment.
Don't go to the orange taco truck. You will lose more than just your burrito that you've eaten.
Oh, man. Oh,
there we go.
God.
But they're not bad.
Yeah, it was delicious.
I wanted more of it. This contest.
We need to do it. Would they do it? Do you think? I think we get them on board.
I think we could.
Send us your finest
meat and cheeses.
Send us your finest meats and cheeses, a little surf and turf. We will judge them. We will make you an award.
You better have $18, bro.
That's right, man.
They charge us $18.
Jason, man, thank you for coming on. It's been a blast. We've already gone through an hour. I can't freaking believe this.
One artist you want to work on, quick, or that you want to work with?
John Legend.
Oh, fantastic. Seriously.
What about Anthony Hamilton? Can he get? Can you do a track with Anthony Hamilton?
I don't even know who that is.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. We're going to preach.
When you get back to your computer, look up Charlene. C-H-A-R-L-E-N-E. Charlene by Anthony Hamilton. If you can get Anthony Hamilton and John Legend together on the same track,
that means
you're Mega Man.
Then so, again, this is pretty amazing.
It is.
And it's right.
But, Jason, you have your Facebook page quickly?
Jason Gaffner Music. And I'm on Twitter, Jason Gaffner.
Fantastic. And follow.
Follow.
Fan. All right. Thank you for coming on. We will be back next week. Pete will be in Europe. Can you believe that?
Eating crepes, street crepes.
Hey, you're listening. Building my street Sun cred FM, with my street crepes.
Hey, Pete, you want to do the honors?
ASV.
Oh, we, yeah.
We can't click on it. You got to do it yourself.
Oh, okay.
The will go. Magic.